Hey y'all, this is Moni.
And this is Kat.
Hey Kat.
And this is the fake-ass book club. Wait, can we both say it or no?
All right, you guys, welcome back to the Fake Ass Book Club. It's your girl, Moni.
And this is Kat.
Hey, Kat.
Hey, Moni.
You're cute.
Thank you.
I like the new hair.
Too.
Thank you. We're matching.
We are. Actually, let me sit back.
Right, I know that's right. It's like, listen, I'm too tired for that shit. Anyway, welcome back, you guys. We're matching. And, you know, hopefully you can hear us well. This is an exciting episode, you guys. We are so excited because this is a book that, I mean, wasn't really on my radar at first, but it came to my attention and I was like, you know what? I think this will be a great book to read. So this week, you guys, we're taking a peek into the world of The Secret Lives of Church Ladies by Deesha Filya. And I'm super excited to do so. So I think we should, I don't know, dedicate the episode real quick so we can get into it.
Strong agree.
All right, guys, hands over your hearts. Welcome back, you guys, to another fun episode of the Fake Ass Book Club. Thank you for coming back. Thank you, patrons, as always. I wanted to dedicate this episode to all my baby mamas, okay? Because we're talking about love, and I love my baby mamas, and you know who you are. And that's all I'm going to say about it, okay? What about you, friend?
Yes, and your dedication. My dedication is going out to Little Miss Flint on Instagram. She is from Flint, Michigan, and she is starting her goal for a filter fund. Her goal was 250K. Now it's 500K. I don't know if people know that they're having like a clean water crisis in Michigan.
This is
have you heard about it? It's been going on for a while. Yeah. And so this young lady is like, well, no one else is coming, so I guess it's just
gotta save ourselves.
Up to me to save us all. So shout out to her. Please look her up and contribute. And
with her,
both the people out of office who allowed this to happen. This is a municipal issue. Yes. I'm sorry, what was your question?
Little Miss who now?
Little Miss Flint.
Put her in there, okay? Yes. Well, she'll be in the notes, you guys. You'll be
so
able to check
dedication
her out.
Over, but yeah, that was something I wanted to highlight because what? I mean,
gotta do it. How old is she?
She's 12 when she started.
She's adorable.
She was 12 when she helped to develop the filter.
That is so dope. I mean, the children are the future,
yes.
And so thank you. So shout out to you for being better than us, because that's just so reassuring.
Yeah,
it's like,
you should be though. We should be improving.
Oh my God,
as the generation's going, and she's doing a great job.
Okay, awesome. Well, shout out to you, young lady. You are making us all proud. So let's get back into our episode today, you guys. So again, The Secret Lives of Church Ladies. I'm into it. I'm going to give you guys a little bit about the book. It says that the 9 stories in The Secret Lives of Church Ladies features 4 generations of characters grappling with who they want to be in the world, caught as they are between the world of church's double standards and their own needs and passions. With their secret longings, new love, and forbidden affairs, these church ladies are as seductive as they want to be, as vulnerable as they need to be, as unfaithful and unrepentant as they care to be, and as free as they deserve to be. And so let's go is all I got to say. I'm like, yo.
That was a very apt description.
I think so, too. I think it was really great. I think that came off of her website, you guys. So that's in the notes, too. But just a little bit about our author real quick. Deesha Filya's debut short story collection, The Secret Lives of Church Ladies, won the 2021 Penn Faulkner Award for Fiction, the 2021-2022 Story Prize, and the 2020 LA Times Book Prize. She has a lot of other accolades on this book, but The Secret Lives of Church Ladies focuses on Black women, sex, and the Black church, and is being adapted for television by HBO with Tessa Thompson as the executive producer, which I find exciting as hell.
HBO, that means it's going to be good. Let's because HBO is very good at not getting in the way of their creatives and letting people just make art. I'm super excited to see this. Can I just say, I loved this book. We read it a while ago, and so now we're just now talking about it. And for people who don't know, it is very hard for Kat to not talk about stuff. Like, Kat cannot hold water. One of the things Moni doesn't like about me is that I have the tendency to spoil things. like movies, books, etc. Oh, by the way, this is not a spoiler-free review. We're going to
talk
about
here.
Everything that happens.
Right.
Skedaddle.
So,
but so I for one, I'm just proud of myself for keeping all of my, especially when I'm excited about something. Like, I love talking about things that I love. So, and I loved this book. All those prizes you mentioned, she's racked up. Well-deserved. This was, like, probably the most well-written, like, item we've covered at least this year, but quite honestly, I can't think of a lot of things that have been written better than this.
I'm just saying, like, and I mean, the fact that I've been sleeping on her is just like, wow. But it was very, very relatable. I mean, just the writing style, all of the things, which we are going to get into. But like I said before, it's a series of short stories, which was super cool because
you got my favorite.
Yeah, we just kind of talked about that last.
Yeah, because that was Southern as well.
I'm glad you just said that because that was one of my notes was that, you know, we talked about the Southern writing and this is another artist who is an author who is talking about her experience from a Southern standpoint. Of course, this is a more relatable one, not because I actually even had any one of these necessary experiences, but
a lot of the feelings and sentiments.
Yes, it was like, yo,
especially
I get it.
Not being able to ask questions, very reasonable questions.
It was just it gave me all the things. So yeah, to your point, that was really awesome. So I think what I want to do though, you guys, is I think so. There's 9 stories. I don't know if there's one in particular you want to talk about.
I want to talk about all of them.
I know. So then should we
I'm
just?
Sorry for yelling.
No, don't be. Listen, we're excited. We're highly excitable.
No, but it is. Okay, I will say this though. I do want to, like, for instance, what was your favorite story? If you had to choose,
just one.
Yeah, like if someone was like, okay, I don't have to. Moni, my life is so busy. You don't understand.
Right?
Like, I only have time to listen to one of these stories.
Damn. So I'm gonna say 2 because I don't follow directions real well. And it would be between How to Make Love to a Physicist.
Okay, we're counting that one. That's the one you said first.
And but the other one that I love was like the letter to the sisters though.
That was pretty cool.
I
but
love
you said
that
the physicist
one. Damn
one
it.
First. But that physicist here's the thing, it's almost impossible because they're all so good.
They're all so good.
The Preach Cobbler.
Peach Cobbler was good.
Yeah, because it was, to me, that one was sort of the darkest.
Okay, which one are we starting with? Because I
let's
feel like we're getting
beginning.
Excited.
Let's start with Eula.
All right, let's start with
That's
Eula.
That's the first one. Because here's the thing. I had no expectations. You know, oh, shout out to Ebony Chappelle, the writer. You put this on our radar.
Yes, you did.
And then hopefully we get to talk to you before we publish this. If we do, here's the part with Ebony. Boom.
All right. Well, Ebony, thank you for, you know, like joining us and being here with us. You know, you're our fave. I feel like we talk about you now, like on every episode. It's like, Ebony, like you should just be the third person.
It's like, well, Ebony has said.
It's like, well, she has said.
Y'all are my faves. I love anytime we get to talk with each other. And today we're talking about something super, super juicy. So I was just like, this is going to be a treat.
We're excited. So we had, this past weekend we did a full official episode on it, but then it got to the point where it was like, okay, we couldn't make it through all 9 stories because we talked too much. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah. She
was like, maybe we should ask Ebony at some point to, like, you know, talk with us about the rest of it. I'm like, we should. So
I would love to. So where did y'all, because you haven't, this, but when we're at the time that we're recording right now, that episode has not dropped yet.
That's what's correct. Coming out
tomorrow. That's what's coming out. Yes. Okay, so what, where did y'all get to in the lineup?
We got to How to Make Love.
We got to How to Make Love to a Physicist.
How to Make Love to a Physicist. Fun fact, that is Deisha's favorite story. I believe
resonated with the most personally.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I wouldn't go so far to say it was my favorite, but that one was like, wow, there's a lot of deep nerd lore here.
There's so much to dive into. I mean, picking up on like How to Make Love to a Physicist, there was so many things I was thinking about when I read that. So I did the audio version of the book.
You know, welcome to the club.
Welcome to the club.
Welcome back.
Listen, so it just, so I was driving and I'm listening to it and I'm just thinking about all these things. And one of the things that's coming to me right now is how I knew some people, some women, when I was like in my early 20s. And like, you know how you are, you're with your homegirls and you're sitting around talking about sex and stuff like that. Yeah. And somebody said that they wore a t-shirt when they had sex because they were like ashamed of their body. And I was like, oh my God. But then it made me think, like, I think we all have things that like impede upon our pleasure if we're not careful about it. So as I'm listening to the story, I'm just like, girl, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Why are you like shutting yourself off? But it's like, I had to think about it. It's like, we all do that on some level at some point, but I'm glad that the story wraps in a way that had her loosen up and be able to go ahead and enjoy herself and not be, you know, bound up with all this bullshit.
I agree. I love that you said that because I felt that too.
Listening, just robbing us of our
just now feel like I'm getting to a point where I'm letting go of that.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
What was the thing for you, Kat, where, like, was there, like, a one thing that happened or, like, what kind of was the impetus to get into that point?
I guess realizing it's not going to get any better. Like, I just have the now and I don't want to look back and think, oh, you know, I could have done this. I could have done that. Even now, something that Moni's grandmother said years ago resonated with me, where she was looking back at old pictures of herself and she was like, oh, it was so beautiful, but she never felt beautiful then. And that always was like, I don't want to rob myself of feeling beautiful. And like, if, you know, and it doesn't have to be because someone else finds me beautiful. Like, I could just in this moment, like, what if I'm amazing right now and like just move like that? And if nothing else, it's just more fun.
Listen, it is so much more fun. It is so much more fun on this end of it. I have a question for you guys, because with that, like, something that you said, Kat, just stuck out to me, like not having to wait on somebody else to tell you that thing. But I wonder, because in this story, like, the physicist is kind of like an accomplice to her getting to that point. So I'm like wondering, how do y'all feel about that? Like, you don't got to tell your business or nothing like that. But like, because I think that there's definitely been some people in my life where, whether it was like a friend scenario or like a lover scenario or something, but like my experience with them helped to like unlock like a new level of self-awareness. I was like, huh, I feel 1,000 times better about this thing after our experience than I ever did before. So it's like, you have to be careful though to not like get like latched onto them as a part of that, but just kind of like, I appreciate that this experience helped to open that door for me. Thanks. Exactly. Thank you for your service.
I'll let Moni answer that first.
You know what? I will say that I personally do feel like my husband has been and continues to be that, because, you know, it's interesting how you see yourself versus how other people see you. Mm-hmm. And I think being able to trust, you know, the assessment of somebody who's in your life. And so, yeah, I do think that that can happen. I don't think you should wait for that to happen. But for I think at the same time, though, we're always looking to see ourselves reflected back to us through people, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, I don't know about Kat, though. What do you think, Kat?
I think it was really important for me to find it within. Like, I do... I don't know if there was any person. It really is mostly authors really reading like books like this to remind, like, I'm going to have to like go internally for this, like because attention is fleeting, especially if you're seeking male attention. And I feel like even in the story, she had to take a break from him, that she knew like this feeling's actually coming from me.
Yeah.
You know, like being single for a long time and then like meeting somebody and like feeling insecure about connecting with this person and not being sure like if this person is for me and like, you know, just like the vulnerability.
Well, can I say, someone who's had long droughts, that was really relatable too, because getting your feet back in the water is really like starting over. It is really embarrassing, especially if you've been with someone for a really long time and then like getting back out there is wildly intimidating. But just the producer in me wants to steer the conversation towards the last story, which was when Eddie LaVert comes.
What story was that? JL?
Y'all already talk about JL?
No. We did, but we can talk about it again.
Well, wait.
But just so that we have a sense of
what are we talking about, though? Which story was that one?
When Eddie LaVert comes, about the dementia, the girl, the daughter, what's girl, the name called daughter.
Oh, that's what it's called. Okay. Yes.
When Eddie.
Okay, I forgot. I was like, wait, that's what it's called. Like, I got 4 hours of sleep, y'all. Y'all gotta help. Y'all gotta.
It's fine. Listen, I'm on a high because my back finally stopped hurting.
Oh, good.
Air high fives. Man, it was debilitating for a while, but yeah. That story to me, like, what do you? Because I felt like the order was very intentional as well for all the short stories. You see someone, a woman who's at the end of her life and being taken care of by her least favorite child, which happens so often. And also, I really like art. Let me touch on something, because when you guys were talking, it was so good and I didn't want to interrupt. But it's when you're talking about the caricatures where it doesn't feel real, it's kind of the difference between kitsch and art. Because kitsch can be very entertaining, but it doesn't have the depth and healing that art can have.
Yeah.
And I do feel like this book is way more art than kitsch. Like, even though it was entertaining, it really struck some real chords that I had to, took a lot of pause, because I listened to it too and had to take a lot of pauses and notes and stuff like that. But this one, just because I'm dealing with a family member who does have dementia and just... the toll it takes that you're not prepared for, because people don't talk about it. Like, it's just one of the, especially because it's a mental illness and there's still a lot of stigma around it. So I'll hand it off to one of y'all.
No, don't hand it off. Well, so let me ask you.
Well, have any of you had to switch those roles?
Not yet.
As far as like taking care of a family member toward that stage. I've had very limited experience myself. Most of the loss that I've experienced with family members has been very sudden. So I've never gone through the experience of like watching
long
somebody
goodbye.
Die. Yeah, no. But you know, it's so I was not up close and personal, but my paternal grandmother, her mother had either Alzheimer's or dementia, I can't remember which one, but she came to live with them. And I remember when I would go to visit sometimes and we would talk, like she would repeat these stories like over and over again and like talk about stuff and like random memories would just pop up and whatnot. And I was like, I was young at the time, like I was in my early 20s, I think, when all that was going on. So I didn't really grasp the full scope of what the experience was.
Right. And it's different when you're observing it versus like you're the person in it dealing with it. Because you know, I would say Kat's probably gotta be one of the most patient people I've ever met in my life. Honestly, I think anybody dealing with me probably has to have patience, because my husband is too. Cause I feel like I can be a lot. But
you're never too much for the people that really, really, you know, fucks with
that
you.
That part. But I'm saying that because, you know, like, I always, when I hear her talking about dealing with her grandmother, she's always talking about it with such, you know, like, love and patience. And that's from, like, a granddaughter standpoint. But, like, when that's your mom, you know what I'm saying? Like, it hits different. The one point that I thought was interesting about that particular story was more like, so there was the brother, Rico, and he was not quite involved in the care of mama. And it's like, you know, that's your fave though. And this nigga out here helping. So I want to hear some thoughts on that, guys. Have you guys ever witnessed or personally experienced anything where it's like, okay, you're the favor, you're the person who the parent is like going on hand.
Well, I already mentioned with. Like she's taken care of by the least favorite least child, and that's what I've observed mostly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm an only child, but when I've observed different family dynamics, like in my own and other families, it's usually not the favorite child who's taking care of the parent. Mm-hmm. Like, even if it's not necessarily the least favorite, it's definitely not the favorite. Usually the favorite is able to dodge a lot of responsibility because they're used to having to do anything, but still mm-hmm. get all the credit.
Mm. Yeah, it's a very strange dynamic. I have the pleasure of being the oldest daughter, and everything that comes along with that. And I described to a therapist one time that I feel like I vacillate between the golden child and the black sheep, because the golden child is like, comes from, oh, Ebony accomplished ABCD, whatever, right? So it's some of it, depending on what the family member that I'm dealing with, like some of it comes from like an external situation, but like the black sheep is definitely because of like, because of my decision to just like rebel against stuff that I think is fucking stupid. And that's been like all my life. So if that meant that I was on punishment for a month because something was going down in the house that I didn't agree with, then I would just take that ostracization like as my punishment, like, but gladly just be like, okay, so I'm ostracized, fine, I'm cool with that, and I will be that way. So like I've gone through periods of like just being on an island by myself, period, but then also being the eldest daughter, by default you oftentimes are the most reliable, the most dependable. If anything needs to get done, you're the one to like, you are the get shit done person. So it's just like, it's a very weird situation, but like a Rico thing.
Yeah.
Because the sibling thing can be a little challenging sometimes. I love my siblings, but who is expected to show up and who just kind of does whatever, is that shit is very, very real. Very real. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things I really, really wanted to talk about with you was about the sort of different ways that the church treats sexual indiscretion. So there seems to be this real observable hard line against homosexuality, whereas male infidelity is just sort of overlooked. And also, you know, brushed aside. So, thoughts?
Oh, yeah. So, I'm a church girl. I grew up in the church. My family was super involved in the church. And I come from, so, like, the Jael story really stuck out to me because of being in a whole family full of women. Like, that was my family. We don't have a lot of, like, prominent male members of my family and my mom's side of family. So yeah, church was mad interesting. Same. Yeah, right. So it's like, it's a whole thing. But I will never forget, there was a leader in the church who was like up to some bullshit, and they said straight up, they were like, well, I mean, even if I got this person pregnant, it wouldn't be the worst thing because it's not like I got caught with a boy. That's literally what they said. And I was like, what? And that was like, that would have been completely fine. It was like, having a baby on my wife would be okay. I could bounce back from that. It's not like I got caught with a boy. And I was like, oh Lord, this is some of the worst shit I ever heard in my life.
Did you say this in front of the congregation?
No, it was a private conversation.
Okay. Right. I was picturing him at the pulpit myself.
That's what I was picturing.
But this is the thing, though. That would fly in a pulpit. And depending on what kind of church community you're a part of, that would fly in the pulpit. the church that I'm at now, I joined a church with a female pastor. It's the first time that church has ever had a female pastor. Okay. And it's my first time ever being in a church community under a female pastor. But I joined the church primarily because of her presence, just because I wanted to have that experience, see what that was like. And it's one of those things where it completely turns a lot of things on its head, like in terms of like stuff that like I probably still have inside of me as far as my thought process. But even like people that go to that church, like they're, you have to challenge that internal misogyny shit because it's so real. Like men can just run amok and that's fine. Like that's always been the case. Mm-hmm. And have as many women as you want to. But, you know, our sin, like I remember hearing women say, like, our sin is visible. Like, if you do get pregnant, like, you're seen. And there's church communities where you get sat down and it's like you're not allowed to serve in any capacity because you're obviously pregnant. Or stuff like when my mom got pregnant with me. So my mom got pregnant with me. No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the church the school I went to, which was religious, would kick girls out if they got pregnant. And I remember being very young and asking, it's like, well, do they kick the boy out who got her pregnant? And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, that's not fair. And they were like, well, it's because, you know, she's basically just a symbol of sin walking around, whereas he doesn't bear that stigma. And I remember thinking that was so ass backwards, because I remember when a lot of my friends were doing cotillion, and I remember I ended up not doing it because I didn't like the fact that if you had like a baby already, like you couldn't be in cotillion. And I was like, well, who else needs a scholarship more than a single mom? You know what I mean? Like, that's really messed up. She's
thinking
more than anybody.
See, burn people like you at the stake because you're asking questions that make too much sense. Like when we get to thinking and like really asking questions and like questioning the system and being like, so what is this?
What's the logic behind this?
There is, because it's not really based in logic.
And I'm sorry, Ebony, I interrupt you. There's a delay, so I can't always. I think there's a gap, but there's not.
No, you're fine. You're totally fine. I'm glad you jumped in, because I think the whole thing about the church in general is that it comes back to like, what do they value? And they put this value on virginity or purity or whatever. And it's like, there's so much stuff bound up in that. It makes no sense. It's just wild. All over the place, because you're not teaching anything about how to actually like value yourself as a human being. It's just, oh, you better hold on to that virginity. That's literally all you're worth.
Once it's gone, yo, you're out.
Have I ever talked to you about being in a promise to keep?
Oh my God. I don't even know what that is, I can imagine.
So it was the chastity club in my high school.
Jesus.
And it was just, you know, a product of purity culture. And it when you have that ingrained 27, it makes Moni so happy. But like, yeah, when you have that ingrained 24/7, like I said, a lot of that stuff is stuff I'm still actively getting over, because you're just told that that's where your value is. And getting out of that is very difficult. But yeah, Promise to Keep was an organization where we went and talked to kids about saving it up.
Wow. So you were one of the speakers for this thing?
Yes. Yes. Wow. We would go to like middle schools and talk to kids. But funny thing is, we would just deviate from the script and just tell those kids to use condoms. Like, because we even back then were like, this isn't helpful. Like, the curriculum was so stupid. And like, the group I was with, it was all Black girls. And we just kind of, we weren't, it's like, this is terrible. So, and actually one of my favorite quotes from it, one of the girls in the group, because everyone was sexually active except me. So like one of the girls was like, I'm gonna promise. Actually, and it was really just practical. For one, I was deeply ashamed of my body, and two, I was terrified of getting pregnant and had read a treatise on the aggressive mobility of sperm. So I was like, I wasn't getting anywhere near the stuff. So it was the a whole aggressive thing.
Mobility of sperm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm good.
Thanks to Alice Walker for that one. But yeah. Yeah, it was wild. Yeah. But yeah, that all of that stuff, it is hard to extricate yourself from that and to kind of check that, because I think we've all been programmed to do that, where we like want to judge mm-hmm. people, especially women, for actively seeking their pleasure. But like mm-hmm. when it comes to men, like in the Dear Sister story, like the man in that story, he had kids all over the place and no one had any problem with him begging him to come to church. Whereas if a woman had babies all over the place and wasn't taking care of them, it's a whole nother story. Ebony, did you have a favorite story?
Did I have a favorite story? Yeah, I really enjoy all the stories, but I feel like the one that I liked the most on this first read was Jael.
I love that one too.
That one was written so well. I already said it on the bulk of the episode, like on the main episode, but this was I think out of all the books we've read this entire podcast, this was probably one of the best written set of stories. Just structurally, just because each one had a different like theme and like storytelling device. The writing is seamless. I would describe this as like a literary quilt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's such a beautiful way to think about it, because they do like pair together very well.
Intentional. But what did you like about the JL story?
So with the JL story, I really loved JL's perspective on the world around her. Like, she just didn't give a damn, and I really appreciated that about her. I like her just candor about everyday life. Like, she could just really saw through the bullshit. It was giving me like it was giving me Holden Caulfield, but like not incel-ish, because I really think he would have been an incel if that story was like in modern times. But she was just giving me that like, this is fake, this is dumb, whatever.
And for people who don't know, that's a Catcher in the Rye reference.
Yes, that is a Catcher in the Rye reference. So I kept a diary when I was that young, and I just thought about like what would have happened if my grandma would have found my diary. Like, the thought of that just made me like so like filled with just laughter, but also just like cringiness. Like, what would she have
thought?
Would
she be madder about the sex or you insulting her cooking?
Oh man. That's a good question. The sex thing, she for sure would have had some comments for me, but I think she would have approved of, like, especially Jael's thoughts on men. Like, my grandma would have approved of that, because that was too how she spoke about men most of the time. But the cooking, my grandmother wouldn't have said any. Well, no, she would have said something, actually. She would have made, like, one, like, very, like, direct pointed comment and like just walked off from
let
your
you
ass.
Know that she knew.
Yeah, exactly. It would have been that
when she was writing about I to me the part of the story that made me have to stop it and just kind of be like, whoa, was when she came to the realization about what happened to her parents. And it wasn't that, because it was a parallel a little bit to A Woman Is No Man, where you have the, you know, your grandparent who's raising you telling you that your parents died in a car accident, when in real life your dad killed your mom. But like, I would get your thoughts on Peach Cobbler.
Oh, peach cobbler. Peach cobbler was good. That was actually the first story that I ever heard from the book, because Disha had done another Black Women's Writing Society. Like, she's been a guest multiple times. So, like, she did an earlier one, I think right before the book came out or right after or something like that. And she read an excerpt from that story to us. So I was like anticipating, you know, that in the book. But I loved it. It was very challenging to me. There were a few parts of the book that were challenging just because it reminded me of things I experienced growing up. Mm-hmm. But it made me think about just that whole challenging like parental dynamic, especially with mother-daughter. Like, that is a huge, huge situation. So all the different things that, and I can't remember the daughter's name right now, but all the different like emotions and stuff that
Olivia.
Olivia. Yeah, all the different emotions and stuff she went through, from like hating this, you know, preacher dude and being upset with her mom, to even like fantasizing about, like, I wonder what it would be like to serve him my peach cobbler and him think it's the best in the world, but then also I'm gonna put glass in it. It was just like this, like, whole, like, oh, it just like had all this like mental, just like deep stuff going on with it that was just like wild.
And Ebony, you missed it when we talked about it before, but I was gonna say one thing I admired about Pastor was, like, man, even in his old age, being able to eat a whole tray of peach cobbler and still maintain an erection to completion is pretty impressive.
You know what, Kat? I'm not gonna lie. Especially men of a certain age, that's some very real shit.
You know, he was unstoppable.
Unstoppable.
Giggity, 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 yeah.
Because I will tell you another thing I've done, like, having been married twice, I've, like, put a heavy meal on a nigga just so I didn't get out of sex. Like, that does work. But if he could get past that, wow.
Yeah, you, hey, listen, he is determined to get here. He's like, don't think I forgot.
Don't wow. Think
I forgot about that. I'm in there like,
what I came here for.
Listen, that is so wild. Like, there's so many levels to that.
Wild. Man, because that's what I ended up thinking about. Like, I'm like, man, like, because you know he had to have diabetes.
You know he had.
Oh, I'm certain that he did. I'm certain that he did.
And that's a circulation issue.
That was the thing, because the contest. Unstoppable.
As always, we enjoy having you. Tell the people where they can find you if they're looking for you.
Yeah, so I really appreciate the opportunity, you guys. You know, I love y'all. I love this show. So it's a celebration every time we link up. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Ebony the Writer. I post stuff sometimes. Right now, a lot of my things are very, like, community-based things that's going on in our town. I do have a podcast. I have not published anything since the wintertime because of all the community stuff that's going on. But if you want to watch old episodes, it's What's Good with Ebony Chappelle. And you can find it on YouTube, Stitcher, Spotify, and iTunes.
Thank you so much.
Yes, you're very welcome.
All right.
All right.
We'll see you, Ebony.
See ya.
Your point with Ebony, okay. Thank you. Yeah, shout out to you. I feel like, I mean, she's like her and Slavery
are our unofficial.
They just be here, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like one of them I like, one is terrible.
I think in basketball, it's known as the sixth man. If you're not on Patreon, you miss our amazing sports analysis.
Listen,
of
I did
all
it.
The different sports things. Mm-hmm. So,
tune in for that.
If you wanted to hear that, look, yeah, tune into that. But yeah.
Well, I wanted to mention Ebony in reference to the writing group she has. So she has a writing group for Black ladies, and it is on Facebook, and I joined it. But with the writing, though, the last group that I attended, Disha Fill Y'all was actually, like, on the she was on the Zoom call and she did like these writing prompts with us. It was just so dope. And so,
let's get into the first story though, just blew me away. Cause I was like, wow, okay, Eula. This is okay. They're getting real.
Let's go.
So the first story is called Eula, which is basically mm-hmm. about this sort of, almost lifelong closeted relationship. This woman, I would just say a queer black woman in the South is having with another black queer woman in the mm-hmm. South, mm-hmm. but who's in way deep denial. But one of them sort of just accepted herself and the other one's still like, well, we're gonna get married one day to men and raise our babies together. And it's like, nah, girl, we have been going to pound town on each other for like past like
whoa,
20 years.
What? Not pound town. Whoa.
And then it sort of falls apart when she was like, girl, yeah. like she was like, well, this is a sin. Don't you ever want to get right with God? And she was like, girl, that is just a game they sold you. Like, when are you going to see that? And I was like, whoa, they're going.
She went in
and she's
instantly.
Like, well, you're not who I thought you were. And she's like, well, I don't know.
You don't even know who you are.
Real.
But you don't even know who you are. Right. And so that's real interesting that you're telling me that you don't know. You know, I'm accepting
so we
that.
We made that short story even shorter. Yo, that's what happens in the first
That's minute. It. Like, boom, right boom. There. But what was crazy.
But way more eloquently and just, like, because you end up feeling for both of these people.
Mm-hmm. Because I do. I do have a lot of, you know, my heart does go out to people who find themselves, like, stuck in a place where they feel like I can't show up who I am. But it was just very, I think that a lot of people find themselves in these situations. So it might not be like a queer relationship, but, you know, whether it's like, I don't think I can show up in front of my parents as who I am because I feel like it's going to damage how they see me. It's going to change. Like it, I think that, especially with queerness though, I feel like it comes before you, right? Like it's something that is like a shadow on you and it's like, oh, here's my gay son. Here's my gay daughter. Oh, she be eating coochie in the corner.
YouTube.
I'm just
so saying. I'm whispering. Like, gesture. It's worth it.
Because it's, you know, like it feels shameful because you're conditioned to think that it is. Yeah. And it's like, here I am embodying all the things that
I
are
like
embarrassing
David
to my
Sedaris.
Family.
We didn't read this, like his pieces about struggling with being a closeted gay man in the South, but he was like, he describes it as like, it's one of those things that's communicated to you without it directly being said. But he knew that being gay was the worst thing he could be.
Right.
And that was, and that's why he had to just, you don't even get to feel your body sometimes. You don't even get to think your thoughts because you're so afraid of them.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're
so
willing.
And then he moved to New York and became a writer and he's great.
He's out here. It makes me, you know, this makes me think about that clip y'all seen. There's a clip of this young man at church talking about he loves women now.
Women.
What? Wow.
I do know what you're talking about. I haven't thought about it.
Y'all know what I'm talking about. And just how sad. I mean, like, it's funny because it's, like, ridiculous. And we know you don't like women, sir. And there's no world in which you should have to stand up there and pretend like you do, though. You know what I mean? And the fact that everybody's, like, clapping you up, like, yeah, he, you know, and it's like, this is. Y'all, so we're just gonna be here and be this fake? Like, I can't. Like, I know this is a fake book club. This is the level of fakeness. This is it. Like, that's all. I can only pretend like we might read books every week. I don't feel like that's hurting anybody. We're still gonna give you good content. We're still gonna talk. But I'm not asking anybody to compromise their, like, being.
Can I tell you, like, something I witnessed in church when I was, like, really younger and mm-hmm. it always stuck with
tell me.
Like, so I went to a church that, like, believed in faith healing. And I remember, like, a family member was there who was having, like, mobility issues and, like, went up there to get healed.
This is not funny, by the way.
It's not.
Even though I have the urge to laugh about
and
this. I'm sorry. I'm going to contain myself.
It didn't work. Like, that was the thing. It's like, so what do we do? But it's like, we just all went on with it. And to me, what bothered me was
can you tell me more about it?
Well, no. But I will say that what bothered me was that it was framed that my family member didn't have enough faith, and that's why it didn't work. And to me, I knew that wasn't true. This is one of the most.
It's like they care so much. Stop
like
playing.
Like they made their whole life about it.
Oh,
so don't
no.
make it like, you know what I mean? And to me, like what that must do to a person to think that this deity that I dedicated my life to won't like.
I don't like that.
I didn't like it at all. But I still pushed it down.
Because that's what you're supposed to
do,
right?
Exactly. And it's like, okay, well, don't think about that. And don't think about the fact that, like, Papa must be in hell because he did not like church.
Whoa. That's, okay. All right. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Let's go. You guys, I actually on Deisha's website, she has this really cool PDF that she includes on here. And so for each story, she kind of gives some questions. So I'm just going to ask you, we don't have to do all of them, but I'm going to ask you a question from this.
I'm ready for it.
All right. So let's see. Are there ways in which your intimate relationships defy your upbringing, religious or otherwise? Oh, that's a good one, right?
Yes.
Let's go. Do you want to elaborate?
No.
Okay. So sign up for our Patreon, you guys. When Kat Deeps dives into. I mean, and I would venture to say
a little bit. I've already said it on the thing because I think I've talked about how, like, I'm not looking to get married again. And that's supposed to be kind of like the point of
life.
Yeah, so I guess that's like an example of where I'm sort of in open defiance of upbringing stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm definitely, I don't go to church, so that too.
I don't know, right? That part. All right, well, let's move on to the next story just so we can kind of go through.
You're not going to answer?
No, if we're all keeping secrets on this episode, remember?
It is the secret life. You know what?
It's the secret life of church ladies and non-church ladies too. Okay. So the next story is not Daniel.
Man, there was a ton of infidelity in this.
Yes, it was.
Like, it doesn't really paint people as being especially monogamous.
No.
So yeah, that one's just about a woman who is basically her mom is in hospice, and mm-hmm. she meets another man whose mom is in hospice, and they get it on. Like,
they be hunching in the hospital. They be hunching in the old hospital.
And I mean, hey, it is what it is. And I'm pretty
he's
sure
married.
He was married, and she was just like, I'm just gonna think about that because
my mom's died.
Elder care is stressful. That's another thing they don't prepare you for. We're talking about childbirth earlier on the Patreon, how people don't prepare you for that. People definitely don't prepare you for what it's like when you have to take over for another relative. It is in a lot of ways much, much harder than child rearing because like with children, like, what the deal is. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But they never tell you at a certain point you and your parents or you and your grandparents are going to switch roles and they are not going to like it.
It's such a deviation from the way your whole life has gone that I think that it's uncomfortable for everybody. But what I liked about this story was it sort of like tapped into, you know, even in the description that I read, it was like, you know, there's this unapologetic sort of like energy behind some of these choices that are being made. And like you said, I mean, like, life is stressful, right? Like, you're in situations sometimes and you're looking for a relief, a release. You're looking for something. And so I think that's kind of what the story tapped into. So whether or not that was messy and
fucked up. Because to go back to the other story, Eula, because to me, one of the quotes that stood out to me when she was asking, oh, girl, she's like, don't you ever feel like you could just bust? And it's like, yeah.
Bitch, I just did.
I was like, that is wild. I was like, that's crazy. I mean, but like, wow. Because I'm listening to it. Did you listen to it?
Of course I did.
I listened to it. So I'm just like, I'm doing chores usually while I'm listening to the book and stuff. And I was just like, what? I had to pause it and write that down.
Okay. Well, and then see, now you're making me go back because I was thinking too, you know, they were on New Year's Eve, like having this New Year's Eve celebration. And it was the thing that they did every New Year. And I think, unless old girl had met somebody, which she would stand her up for and be cooking for her. And the food was like described so good.
Has anyone ever had that happen to you? Like in the middle of making food for somebody, they cancel on you? To me, that is some cold ass shit right there. Like, that's some, like...
You never have to worry about me cooking for you again.
And making gumbo, which is a multi-day...
Takes forever.
Like, you have to take, like, there's so much care that goes into that dish. And though it's like, man...
Her description was, like, amazing, too.
Yeah. Like, it conveyed so much and so... Elegant.
And it was very, very nice. But yeah, so this story kind of like... So let me ask you a question. It says, the narrator shares how she and not Daniel felt free to cry when they were together in the parking lot late at night. Why do you think these total strangers chose to be vulnerable and intimate with one another?
Because it didn't matter. Like, that was the thing. Like, if he judged her or she judged him, it's like,
bitch, I don't care.
It's kind of like the same thing like men describe when they go to sex workers. Like, they just want to talk and they open up and talk about stuff they never talked about before. It's because you're not worried about being judged because you're already judging this person so much. So you don't care about what they think about you. So I think that was the not having to do the respectability politics. Like I said, you don't have to be, you know, do this representative version of yourself. You can actually just be yourself.
And what you gonna say?
Yeah. Right. It's like, we're not in a relationship. Like, if you're mad at me, it doesn't matter. It's not like you can divorce me and take my kids.
So would you, do you think it's fair to say that the titles that we hold up in front of each other come with a certain level of expectations, and when you don't have those, it doesn't necessarily come into play?
They've done, like, psychologists and stuff, they've done, like, the key to happiness is low expectations. So, like, when your expectations are exceeded, so real, like, it happens. So, like, today, ding. I went to a bowling alley and had pizza, and it was so good.
Like, yo, like, I never expected this.
Good pizza here. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's great.
It's like allowing yourself an opening to be happy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, what about you? Like, you just, like, it's just the title, so you're just holding that person in that, like, that.
I think so. I think that what ends up happening is that the titles are, you know, we hold so much. I mean, again, like, if I'm somebody's mom, like, I do feel like, yo, if somebody's saying I'm this person's mom, then, like, I have to show up like somebody's mom. There's a lot of stuff involved. If I'm somebody's wife, it's like, you know, and the thing is that you never understand fully what the other person anticipates from that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have your idea about what that means, but they do as well. So sometimes that clashes. But I think that the interesting part that they tapped in on too was, like, you know, you have this, so there was a scene where they were getting ready to get it on in the car or whatever. And, you know, she's thinking, her inner dialogue is like, oh gosh, what if, like, my mom dies, like, while I'm out here getting blasted in the car or whatever. Right. Blasted. Nobody says that.
I mean.
But y'all know what I'm saying.
It makes it sound like a Brazzers video.
Blasted.
Like, middle-aged woman gets blasted.
While her mom dies in the hospital. Okay, on right. We could be the correspondence for that too. Not just childbirth, but also,
it's like, he is really getting in there. You can tell it's been a long time. Like, I don't see a condom there. Like, he's gonna really pay for that later.
He's gonna rinse that out and flip it inside out. Okay. That's gross. But no, it was just interesting to me that she was.
I was just thinking about how I was like, I would watch that. Like, watching people, like, comment on
cheat on their husbands?
No.
In the parking lot of a nursing home?
So funny.
Oh, yeah. I guess so. Except if it's happening to you, not so much.
God, no.
Like,
no,
it's not funny
not
when
funny.
It's you. That's just like everything.
Exactly.
But no, I'm saying that because, although, he wasn't thinking about that, is my point. She was the one having
right,
that thought, and she
up
asked
the point,
him.
He's like,
he was like, bitch.
Dead or alive. I'm thinking about my mama. I can't.
It's like, was
work.
You trying to get dick down or not? Like, I can't be.
Why are you talking about my mom?
Right. It's like, do you understand that's a so booner not, killer, right?
So
now?
Not sexy.
Wow. So that was funny to me. I thought, well, he ain't lying.
That was a funnier one about.
That was cute. That was funny. Oh my god. Okay, so
this one was
dear
fantastic.
Sister was like,
just the structure of it. Like, the so to good. Me, you know, when I always go on and on about Rick and Morty and stuff like that. To me, it's because of the, you're able to communicate so much, so quickly, so well. So
which
to
is
me, that's
impressive.
Any subject is so difficult to do, and Dear Sister is a wonderful example of. Like that, because this woman is basically able to tell her life story, the life story of her sisters.
In a letter.
That's all kind of, it just feels so seamless. It doesn't feel clunky.
It was so good. It was so, so good.
A lot of writers could really learn a lot from her about
how to
do. I
feel this might be my favorite now. I have to go.
Why is that?
Because it was, like you said, I mean, all the good stuff you said.
Who do you think's pregnant in the story?
Probably the one she's writing to.
Right.
Yeah.
I think so, too. That was really cute.
So the premise of this particular letter that this young woman is writing to a family member is that they have the same father. So there's a, well, actually, you
he's a bit of a lackluster father.
Yeah, like,
he's
got a bunch of kids.
Stetson.
Because he wore Stetson.
That was his nickname, whatever, because he always wore a hat. Basically, y'all know
he was a hoe.
Coochie slider.
I mean, damn.
You know what I mean? He really was. You know, he sounded a lot like Miss Pat's baby daddy. The first one.
On them
yeah, not the good
one
now.
Yes, no disrespect to you, sir.
Yeah, no, the old one where he was just sliding on a bunch of underage girls, getting them pregnant and acting like that ain't got nothing to do with him.
My God, yeah. So they find out that they have this half-sister, And one of the sisters was like, you know, I think she needs to know that she has family out here.
Actually, it was the nosy neighbor who brought it up.
What? Oh, that's okay. Mm-hmm.
She was like, didn't y'all have another sister, a fat one? And she was like, yeah, you know how she's old like, ladies no, bitch, be.
That was me and I was pregnant.
Like, oh, ladies, she's like, is this bitch for real? Because then the other sister was like, Kimba's like, no, that was me. I was pregnant. And she was like, no, nah, you were just fat. It's like, all right.
Okay,
but
go
like
home.
Miss Mabel, very nice. Have
Miss
a nice
Mabel,
day,
thank you,
ma'am.
You know what I'm saying?
I can't cuss you out because of home training.
And actually, get your husband too, because he be out here looking every single time we walk up and stuff, and he's gross, and I'm tired of it. Okay, so don't have me out here reading your little nasty
ass
husband.
Never get sexually harassed at your father's funeral.
That part, oh my god. Let's talk about it.
How the sisters came together, because a lot of it was bickering.
So relatable.
There was one sister, Renee, who thought her father was like daddy of the year.
I don't think she really thought that. I think that she was trying to will him to be.
Well, yeah, because she was super religious one. It was like, don't take the Lord's name in vain. And then don't do this. Everything was just respectability, pride. Mm-hmm. She was acting like she was one of the Huxtables,
but
it was really like the Cosbys.
That's my daddy. So, yeah, I mean, so she was really able to capture all the different personalities of the different sisters and the family dynamic and how, like, the grandma always has these dreams. This was relatable, too, because you always have that one relative that like dreams about a fish or something. It's like, oh, somebody's pregnant, or there's these little superstitions. I don't know if that's something that was.
Yeah, I've heard that before. I don't know in my own family, but that's definitely something I'm aware of, because mm-hmm. that would have been a little too superstitious for my family. Like you can't like,
it's like
any
that's the devil,
anything.
Kinda.
Yes.
The deva.
Yeah, divination.
The deva.
I couldn't watch Smurfs because it was magical mysticism. So.
Okay. They yeah.
That's why I don't like Pat Robertson. That was him.
That's the only
700.
Reason?
I mean, that's one of the reasons I don't like him.
All right. So we ain't got to list them
like
all
him
right
for,
here right
well,
now.
Well, and also, too, because he pushes that anti-gay agenda, which was very prevalent in the book as well.
My God. Yeah, it really, really was. But this was just a beautiful, like, it was so dope because the letter was, it was very conversational. But like you say, it covered so much. And it was like welcoming her in but and letting them know who they all were. And then at the same time, kind of like, I don't know, it just touched on a lot. I did the funeral part. So once the dad, she was writing the letter because the dad had passed away. And that was kind of like her way of being like, yo, our dad died. We're probably sisters.
Really shit, but you should know us.
You should know us. We're a good time. You know, she's messy. I can be a little this. We can be a little that. But also, you know, we would love you. Yeah.
And like, really, because she's writing, she's not just sitting, she's writing the whole funeral weekend down.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it was just so, it just flowed so well. Because actually, I listened to this twice. I went back and re-listened to it.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah. And it was, I was like, man, this
man, Chauncey, though, that his, the dad's punk-ass Chauncey was the dad's friends trying to slide her at the funeral. That was super relatable,
he got some
too.
Beautiful daughters.
Ugh, and it wasn't.
And you know, it's like, yeah.
I mean, so I won't say, like, it's specific to my dad's friends, but, like, there's always, like, that uncle or that
just
male relative
old,
or somebody family adjacent who's just being inappropriate to the young women that are at whatever event. And it's like, seriously?
Everyone is here for their sexual pleasure.
Who's that? It's like, if you don't get your... Just moving on. It was just really, really gross.
Okay, next story.
Next story, you guys. Peach Cobbler. Ooh. Okay, so...
I've been calling it Preach Cobbler.
Preach Cobbler. That is, ain't it? It was Preach
it
Cobbler,
was
though.
It was Preach Cobbler.
I love that it is called that because I think that the peaches, you know, kind of symbolize a sexual... I mean, like, in this day and age, we know
it
what
is.
We know
we
what
know
we're alluding
peaches,
to.
Peaches, peaches, peaches,
peaches, peaches, peaches, peaches, peaches, peaches, peaches,
peaches, peaches.
Ah,
love you.
Wow.
But yeah,
first of
this,
all,
this
that was
too,
from the Mario Brothers movie, guys.
One,
you're welcome.
This one is going as one as my favorite because it ties into another story. Like, this was like almost,
she
it reminds
good.
Me a little
she
bit of
well.
Stephen King.
Really?
Yeah, because Stephen King, the way he writes, you just paint these pictures. The world is so engrossing. And sometimes he does weave together different books in like weird ways.
And she,
like
and when I was reading about when she was writing this, she got stuck. She was supposed to be writing this novel and was like, yo, I'm stuck. It was something she worked on over time. And somebody was like, well, why don't you do like some short stories? So there was a point where she was trying to make all of them interconnected. Mm. All of them aren't, but that
I
was kind of.
But it still does feel like it's in the same universe.
It, does.
It reminds me of an anthology like Black Mirror or mm-hmm. Death, Love, and Robots, where, mm-hmm. of course, each one is different. It exists on its own and it's perfect. Not
on
perfect,
its own.
On its own, mm-hmm. but all together, it paints, it's like a mosaic. It's really gorgeous. But our protagonist, who we don't find out her name until like almost the end of the story. Mm-hmm, that was amazing. Mm-hmm,
that was pretty
but
good.
But it was perfect because that's when she finds her voice. So because it struck me, I was like, oh, I'm just now hearing her name. I didn't even catch that.
Don't even
first.
Know. Right. Don't
but
know.
Yeah, she's basically, what do you want to describe?
Oh,
her?
No.
Okay. Mm-mm. So Olivia is kind of growing up with her mother, who's a waitress. And every Monday, their preacher comes by, eats a plate of peach cobbler.
Not even a plate.
Oh, I'm sorry, a tray of peach cobbler, bangs her mom, and then leaves. And, of course, he's married. And at some point, when she's a teenager, she's invited into his house to be a tutor for his son.
Because he's
and
not
there's
doing
also
good math.
A question that he might be her real father as well. And then mm-hmm. she strikes up an affair with his son, also maybe her half-brother, and starts having, you know, kind of like, remember, because her mom's sort of in a, I would say a neglectful drunk.
Yes,
like she
definitely.
Does the bare minimum for her. You wouldn't be able to really.
She don't comb
like,
her hair.
She's not
and stuff.
Legally neglecting her, but she's emotionally and physically neglecting her.
I mean, it was so sad because, like, just the notes, like, I, you know, like if her mom was laughing or smiling at her or even touching her, she was like, I want to know how to like make her laugh like he does. I just want to have like that softness, that like attentiveness toward me. I mean, it was like heartbreaking because that's all anybody's kids ever wants is. You to look at them and
attention.
See them. Yeah. And so like to think she wasn't getting that. And it sounds like the mom too. Like I felt like a little bit of the, you know, you have the lighter complected mom who has the
looser
hair
curls,
that's not as kinky.
Yeah.
And then her daughter's darker than her. She has the kinky hair. Her mom don't want to comb her hair. She's relieved when you're old enough to deal with it because she don't want to deal
really,
with it.
No, it didn't sound like she was really old enough to deal with it.
But. She, well...
But
she,
know,
her
she
mama
had
thought so.
Had the motor skills. So
yes.
Go for it.
And so, yeah, you just get this sense of like somebody. And it's like, you know, her coming into her body. She was like, you know, all of a sudden, like, I got these huge titties.
Yeah.
I got acne.
Well,
like,
the what was kind of understood in the story was like both of them were apparently just bad as hell. Like,
yeah,
you
like,
know,
y'all,
like
y'all body, yada,
the,
yada,
just
yada,
the way that they were, the reactions they were getting from men and stuff like that. And then the mom was really upset when she started developing, got her period and stuff like that. She was just like, oh, fuck, here we go.
Yeah, now they're after you. Jeez.
Right. But so. She was trying to put her on game. It's like you, the sad thing was that the mama was basically training her to live a loveless life. She was like, I know what's best for her. She shouldn't even be striving for
anything good,
anything better, anything because all she's going to get is crumbs. And it's like, I mean, if you put it like that, yeah, but...
I know, it's but
and
it's
she
hard.
Could have had more. Like, I was just thinking, like, why didn't she ever...
She didn't think she was worthy. I mean, like, I think a lot of the time that's what it comes down to. And it's interesting because the people who feel like that, usually you see them, you're like, so how, though?
And this was another example of, like, preparing food that someone doesn't show up for.
Oh, yeah. She would throw it in the trash.
Yeah. And
whole peach cobblers.
And then, like, Olivia, she, like, one time just went into the trash one time. Because the mama would never let her eat the peach cobbler. She would make this whole tray of peach cobbler for this man and just give her TV dinners. She never, her mom never cooked for her. I thought that was, like, crazy.
Really messed up, yeah.
I will say this, though, because do you remember the preacher's name?
Who cares?
I don't either.
It was terrible.
But her preacher, maybe daddy or whatever, I actually did kind of admire him towards the end, because year after year, like, could you imagine eating an entire tray of peach cobbler and then making love? Like, and he was described as a very large man as well.
Yeah, being
a
sausage fingers.
Like, he was a monster. Like, ugh. You had to really want that. Because Yuck. It was interesting the way they described him and his wife, because she was described as being, like, almost, like, skeletally skinny.
Thin.
And then he was super fat. And I think that was sort of to illustrate how much love and resources that were being pumped into him.
Right.
And what was being taken from her. But they did say she had 3 diamond rings on each finger.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's probably for each time she caught him cheating.
Damn, probably. I did remember hearing that. But that is a good observation, because, yeah, like, he kept being described as this greasy, fat, sausage-fingered man who was like, ugh. And then she saw him...
you're right,
gross.
It's just that was
yuck,
that was, but like a poem.
It was really, really gross. But also too, just like her need to connect with her mom, like her watching her mom make this peach cobbler with so much love and care, like she wanted to be able to recreate it just so that she could. And when she was old enough, she started like making her own, and You know, I don't know. It's just like it. I think the heartbreaking part was like the lack of love that Olivia's mom had for herself. And like you said, just her demonstrating like it's cool to just expect just bullshit. Like, I do think that there's a certain level of preparing your kids for like life ain't sweet.
Right, there is a lot of bullshit in life.
But life is sweet,
real.
Though. Like, and again, like, it's you have to both. Create. It's both. It's not just one. And so.
And if you feed the bullshit, that's what you're going to mostly have.
That part. And
because
so.
Later on, can we skip to, just because it might be easier to talk about it, to the other short story where she's giving instructions to Christian married men or whatever that she's having not affairs you. With?
This one.
Okay, instructions for married Christian husbands. Where she's just given a detailed layout for how to, like, basically sleep with her, even though you're married and stuff like that.
And air quotes.
And it was funny, but it was like heartbreaking because this is the same character. Like, they don't say it, but you
know,
there's
that
enough
it's
context
her.
Clues to know that this is an adult Olivia.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, because of how she grew up, she has like an infidelity kink.
Mm. Yeah, it's like, I know you want it.
And that's like, that's really messed up. Mm-hmm. Like, it sounds to me like that's like what turns her on the most is that, like,
it's like, you want me, you're not supposed to, bitch.
And it's like, this isn't. I have a note on this.
It's
like
really messed quote. Up. But it was really, like, you're right. So, like, she goes through this whole, like, list of what it takes to, like, if you want to be
it's
with
like,
me.
Don't use me as your therapist.
Right.
You have like to, your... like, I'm going to need to see your opinion. I mean, some of them were good dating rules. Mm-hmm. Like, if you were dating another single person, where you're just like, hey, I'm good. Not your therapist. You know, like, we're here to have a good time and kick it. I'm going to need to see your STI panels.
Mm-hmm.
You're still going to have to wear a condom.
Like, every there's time.
Like, yeah, all this other stuff where it's like, okay, this is all really good. And then when she gets to the, you know, how do you handle, it's like, oh, we can't text for real. Like, basically use WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all this other kind of stuff. Because that's the other thing, too. I remember a guy I was talking to. He only wanted to talk on WhatsApp. I was
it's like,
we're done
because you're
here.
Cheating. It's fine. And I'm out.
Right. It's like, there's nothing of that's too weird.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not in.
We both are in America. Like,
and you're not about to have somebody calling my phone asking me questions about your dusty ass. I don't give a damn. Okay. So you know what I'm saying? That part. I don't have time. But yeah, so that was really interesting how she.
But we'd love to hear your woman-to-woman stories, though, if you've ever had anybody come up to you as a woman. Oh,
please write or call you a woman-to-woman. I just want to let you know that.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. That would be a fun
Could
Patreon.
Could you imagine,
hour.
Like...
A woman-to-woman.
Okay, but yeah, we can go back in order, but that's how I wanted to cover that one, because there's a couple stories in play, because then when you're listening to it, I'm like... Oh, Olivia.
That's Olivia. I thought the same thing too. I thought, that's her.
This one resonated. Snowfall.
Snowfall was good.
Especially if, for people who don't know this about Kat, Kat hates the cold.
The cold's the worst. I
and
love it.
And it's really just about how, like, these two lesbians who are banished to New England because their Southern mothers have rejected them. It's like,
I love you until you loved her.
Yeah.
And so now.
And it was crazy sad because one of them, her mama kicked her out in like high school when she found out.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was able to stay closeted until at least she finished school and got a job, which is.
Well, and it sounded like they still had some, you know, a relationship. Like, they still would talk sometimes.
But it was just.
But it was, yeah.
Where it's like, you just ran off with some girl you met on the internet. And it's like, here's what bothers me about the whole gay thing. Okay.
Let's talk about it, friend.
People get all bent out of shape when, like, they're like, oh, they're making the kids gay. It's like, okay. But we don't have any problem with all these pastors who are, like, their sexual habits and how they're using their power in different ways. Like, to me, the outrage is so quiet about that, whereas the outrage over consensual adult sex that has nothing to do with anybody else.
Nothing to do with you.
And especially because there's so much sexual abuse in all the churches. Like, the Catholic Church, I mean, no one's done it like that. But...
bitch can't do it like me.
I mean, but they've had more time, like, to be fair. But basically, whenever you look into any these hierarchical male organizations, because they are male. Like, don't get it twisted. The guy they're serving's a dude. So, like, dude, he's man. A dude and dude, he's man. Mad if you do any gay stuff. So, like, I just, that bothers me because that story broke my heart. It especially was. When you just fall in the cold and you just want your mom. Like, of course you want your mom.
You the descriptions of food, though. Because they had like a crab boil. That's what I like too. I mean, there was lots of descriptions of food.
That is a good sign of a book that I'm going to enjoy.
Yeah, I thought about that too. I'm like, oh, I know Kat's enjoying this. They're talking about a crab boil.
It's funny. Ah. Like they did that in Game of Thrones. Like, Harry. I know it's a lot of the books that, you know.
There's food in there, man.
Yeah, feed me.
But yeah, it's just, it is kind of sad because it kind of like illustrates in a way the sort of distance they felt from their families. And then the family you find within, it is, it's like, dang, you know.
Especially because she was her mom's only child, like, and she was a single mom. They really only had each other, and because of
think
something
about
that's
that,
not heavily supported in the Bible, like, it's in there, but not as much as, like, you know what a lot of the Bible is?
Don't eat shrimp? Making tabernacles?
No, that's not even a lot of it. Making like, that's just a little bit, but, like, temple decoration.
Yeah.
A lot making of it is about, like, what animal parts
can be there
the Lord wants. That's like a big part of it, like more than,
but that's more, is that, would you, is that more in the Old Testament?
The, all the gay the stuff thing? Is in the Old Testament.
Oh, okay. But so the now listen,
most
I'm not gonna
of the
go
Bible
here.
Is the Old Testament.
See, this is what I don't understand, because I thought that like
it
doesn't
two,
matter
about
anymore
two thirds you, but that's, it's an apologetic because then it matters until it doesn't, like the Ten Commandments are in the
yeah
old part.
So which
like,
one is it
that.
It's like Jesus died for your sins, so why are we talking about the tabernacle and stuff anyway? Okay. Yeah, so Snowfall, yeah, it was sad. It was. It did.
It's so unnecessary.
Yeah, I mean, it's just always sad when kids and people, you know, kids turn into adults who are still looking for something from, you know, their family members that maybe they can't give them. And you hate to think that it's something that, it's like, yeah, if you just kind of reframe that, though, and just decided to accept a person.
But
that could
be good. It's just interesting to me of the moms in this story probably have lived through some sort of scandal with their own preacher and didn't abandon him. So what is it that, to me it's always interesting, what is it, because there are some conservative people who are able, like Dick Cheney for instance, he had a gay daughter and didn't seem to have any problems with
it. Like, I mean, I basically
but then you
her.
Have like people like Alan Keyes who like kicked his daughter out and stopped paying for her school when he found out she was gay. And it's like,
it's conditional.
Yeah, like yeah. That's it's weird to me. Like the
like, where do you draw the line?
Yeah, like because I'm obviously, I think it's better to support your kid,
right? Like, I mean, the gay part's not going to take me out. Like, it's going to be more.
I
like,
really shouldn't be involved in your sex life.
No, well, and it's like people are way more comfortable with your kids being, you know, I don't know, like terrible parents to kids that they
like
have
Stetson,
and not taking care
like
yeah like
dude.
Yes,
like no one was cutting him off no. For just making people all the time.
Well, that's what they're
like
supposed
that's
to do,
supposed
girl.
To be a but I
what are you supposed
said
to do
that's the long game is to make a bunch of unwanted children because they're more likely to need the services the church provides.
They're need well, that and right and so I think it's not even just church, I think it's just in society, like you get a bunch of people who don't yeah you
population.
Need those folks that don't recognize their power, don't recognize.
You don't want them like reading, voting, and educating themselves and learning about nutrition. Like, that's not a easily, you know.
Rise up and overcome like that.
Let's
talk
to that.
Rising up and overcoming.
We did it.
Woohoo.
Okay, so yeah, that was,
Yeah, that one was really good. I love that one too. How to Make Love to a Physicist.
So I feel like this one was pulled directly from like I this one just touched
strumming
me so personally.
My pain with your
yeah, because I'm like, wow, this was. I mean, I don't think it was cool. She ghosted him. Like she needs.
Well, let's go back because yeah. Where do we talk about here?
The protagonist of this story is an art teacher who meets a physicist at like a STEM or STEAM conference. Uh-huh. And, you know, she's
Lyra.
She basically just sort of has a sexual awakening, even though you get the feeling she's like middle aged, but she's just never indulged this part of herself.
That's that tracks.
And
me.
It to me is like super
for church ladies. I think that's very
you're
on
not
track.
Taught to you're not taught to seek that at all.
You're
so
repressing
the
that.
Fact that she's like, you know, let me. There's this man who's truly and this is always to me a lesson of like how you know a man's interested in you when women are like, well, he doesn't.
this and he brought me a pair and da da da. It's like when a man is interested in you and pursuing you, he's not like, you're not going to be confused or it's not going to be ambiguous.
It's going to be very directed.
It's going to be clear. He's yeah. like, no, my sights are that one. Mm-hmm. And if that's your goal is I'm to want to get married, like you should be going for that energy.
And I'm going to go hard. Yeah, it was very much. And I thought what was cute that they portrayed was just the cute, but it seemed relatable to me because it was like, you know, she meets this person. Like for one, they're already in a space that's super white. It's a job conference.
When she was kind of count the Negroes. Yeah, that was count the part the Negroes. That was like oh,
one, two, three. Oh, he's 12.
Inner monologue, so number 12.
You know, of all of these.
And I pictured him as like a young Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Which is Google adorable. It. Oh my God. You know, the arms and whatever. But yeah, I think that was relatable. And then two, just even feeling like, I mean, is this real though? Like, did I really just meet somebody that I'm actually interested in? Because it hasn't really happened and they're interested in me. And so like the internal dialogue that she was having is like, am I, you know, like second guessing it? Like, oh, maybe I won't text them back because this feels like. Because
it doesn't go maybe. Anywhere.
Yeah, it's like, do I even want to do this? Like, this is stupid. Like, just that whole thing that you do with yourself when you're trying to convince
yourself. Once again, my whole thing is like, I think I'd just rather be alone than with someone who doesn't get me. Mm-hmm. Like, they're never going to, like, believe I'm this weird.
It's like no, this is not a gig. This is real life.
But, like, yeah, if someone who's, like, seriously, and not just sleeping with you, but seriously interested in you.
It's so weird when you find somebody who really is, too, because it is hard to believe. I still feel like that now. I ain't going to hold you up. I've been married for a long time. And
no, give it a number.
It's 16 years. Years, but it's been like 20 something because I don't do math, but it's something. And you know,
it's been some time.
It's been a long time, but I do think about that. I just think about it's like, you know, when you think about how quirky you are as a person and just like some of your not so great attributes, or you know, I mean, even considering the things maybe that are appealing, it's like, I don't know if that's enough. I mean, over time, like, you know, like. So I do think it's relatable to me feeling like, I don't know, like if this person.
So you didn't feel worthy of that love?
No, I didn't. And I still.
Wild.
Not really. I mean, because it's like, so, yeah, so that's the relatable part of her, like being like, well, maybe, like you don't, it's almost like I don't want to get too excited for this because I feel like the rug is going to be like pulled from up under me kind of thing.
Because, I mean, even in reading the story, I was just like, oh, man, what if like he dips after this?
But he didn't.
I mean, the fact that
she kind of ghosted
to me,
him.
She did ghost him, which mm-hmm. which is not cool.
No, that was
like, and
good.
I know she said she didn't have the vocabulary for it, but he was like, yeah, you got to try.
You do. And you he blocked she blocked him and everything.
Yeah. Like, that's wild. But the fact that he was like, hey, you know.
But I still like one. You though. Girl. Yeah, it's just like sweet though. Beat. Right. But that is nice though when you do meet somebody who you feel like they can kind of pick up on that and they are like, you know what I mean?
Fact that I thought was kind of messed up when her mom was like, I don't want you coming to church no more without a girdle. And she was like, I promise I won't come to church anymore without a girdle. And she was just stopped.
I
going
just
to
won't
church.
Go. Not I promise. It's like, please
God,
don't
God
come
forbid
here.
You jiggle.
It's not even about God though at that point. It's just about the elders. You don't want to hear the old lady like, did you see Miss Sister Shannon's
let's give him something to talk about. Right?
She came in with a booty just
so
a jiggling.
Much God, you know,
how
that
much
is
fun? That's the funnest part about church, ain't it?
Apparently,
talking about people.
Can I just say that's something I did not enjoy?
Talking about people at church?
Yeah. Oh. I don't really like
I mean, there was nothing else to do, kind of. It was like, what about this bitch? No, I'm just playing. Not that. Not bitch. Sorry,
now,
guys.
Let me get it. Not get it twisted. It's not like I don't enjoy gossip. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't really like getting into the dirt of the people around me for real like that. Mm,
that's
like,
true,
I
though.
Like,
I feel that. I'm just here for a short time,
yeah,
not forever.
Like, in the sheer amount. Like, I'm more into, like, let's just watch reality TV show and gossip about them. That's what it's for.
Because we don't know them, right?
Yeah.
It's a little too close to home. I don't think I was ever particularly close to people.
Oh, okay. And see, my church friends were my friends.
Yeah, no.
Because I'm going to an all-white school. So the only time I really got to socialize. And I used to have neighborhood friends, but then crack happened. And couldn't go outside anymore.
Just put a crack right there.
Okay, yeah. Next story.
All right. But anyway, that was a really good one. I think it mostly, you know, was positive. Yeah. JL.
That was.
Do we have time?
I don't know that we do. You know what we do have time for? We can tell the biblical story of JL.
Do it.
Which I thought was really cool. They tap danced.
Everybody
around a
loves
bit.
Stories about the Bible.
Man, it's basically a story about how this, when they were, the Israelites should find somebody, they were always finding somebody. And one of the commanders came to JL's tent. She's a Hebrew woman. And she was like, yeah, come in my tent. And he was like, can I have some water? And she gave him some milk. And then he went to sleep. This, to me, the subtext of the story is she slept with him because he was like knocked out. And then while he was knocked out, she drove a tent peg through his head and killed him and then like ended the war or whatever. And I remember because there was like a painting of it in I want to say the Institute of Art in Chicago.
What?
And it was awesome because she was like, because to me that was maybe not just because that painting, she's topless and she's got like the little hammer thing up and was about to
you
strike
and
the,
your somebody's head getting cut off with their titties showing.
It happens I mean, I don't know. It's powerful.
It's like, this is great.
It's visually impactful.
Oh, I love it. That's so funny. You're such a heathen.
I remembered
God,
just... it. But like, yeah, but it's interesting because do you think they were describing, was she a sociopath, do you think?
JL?
Yeah.
I don't know.
She did kill that dude, right?
Yeah, she did. Perhaps. I mean...
She didn't seem to have, like, the way the grandma was describing her.
So let's, real quick, all right. real quick, just run down the story real quick so the people
okay,
can know.
Let me restart. Yeah. Okay, so JL is an orphaned girl. Her parents were murdered in front of her when she was very, very young, and she's sent to live with her great-grandmother, who is very religious and finds her diary one day when she's cleaning. And the framework of the story is it sounds like the grandmother's writing in her diary about JL's diary. Mm-hmm, is that mm-hmm. the what you
yes,
got?
Yes, that's okay. what I got.
And so she's talking about how JL, basically JL, she seems to have a complex sexuality. She's like fantasizing about the pastor's wife. That part, those parts were hilarious.
Yes, it was.
And just about how... She doesn't really kind of get other people. Like, she has a friend, like a little fast-tailed little friend who's dating, like, this 30-year-old dude. They're both still in high school. The through line of the story is the grandma basically ends up finding out that she kills this guy who's been basically molesting her friend. Like, the friend thinks it's her little boyfriend or whatever because he's buying her school clothes.
Listen, universal basic income. That's what you were saying. It's like, you know, maybe we wouldn't have molestation.
It makes this a lot less like, yeah, you can't just have creeps in the mall hanging out being like, yeah, I'll get that for you, you know, do something a little strange.
So you want that skirt, girl?
She kind of soft ass nigga. Like, yeah, it's but sad. There were, to me, this maybe indicate, do you think the grandmama was more upset that she was possibly gay or the fact that she called her crab shitty and talked about her cooking?
Damn, I don't know. Probably, it seemed like she was more upset about the cooking part.
Yeah. She was she was not okay with the gay stuff because she stopped taking her to church after she figured out she was fantasizing about Sweet Sadie.
Because I feel like at that point, she just kind of was like, okay, this is a lost cause. You know what I mean? But then it felt like personal when she started talking about her
food.
I don't know.
She's like, they don't taste all watery. Oh, well, that part made me cackle.
Listen. Yeah, I mean, I think, so what ends up happening, she sets up, because it says, recall your ideas and questions about sex and religion at age 14. How do they compare to JL?
Oh, you're supposed to wash it and sit on it.
So keep that in mind. Like, we're talking about, like, teenage, you know, really young teenage girls at this point. And I thought it was funny. They were talking about how they got all the names, like all the women in their family had. And it was a very female-heavy family. Like, yeah. It was nothing but women. Hadn't been any men
like
born
seven
in generations.
Yeah.
And they just would, like, flip through the pages of the Bible, pick a name.
And that's a very Southern thing. That's an old-school Southern thing. Because that's technically how Oprah got her name. And then they just misspelled it.
Oprah.
Oprah. But, yeah, like, it's in the Bible, but it's not spelled that way. So it got a little whatever. But that's a pretty, you know, well-known tradition.
Yeah, which I'm glad we didn't do. But, yeah, so it was just,
But it was funny because it takes a while to find women's names in the Bible. I think it was a call-out to that, because sometimes you have to keep flipping.
She's good.
Because a lot of the women in the Bible aren't, there aren't a lot of them. Their stories aren't featured a lot. And then the ones that there are a lot of times aren't named.
Their titties are out and killing people. And
but so, JL, shout out to JL. JL got named in
listen,
the Bible.
Y'all gonna know her name.
And because okay. they really don't like it when women kill men. They don't like that.
Well, no. I mean, and it's like we really shouldn't be hurrahing for anybody's, you
we
know.
We shouldn't, but
death, but especially that seems to be frowned upon. But yeah, it was just it was really crazy because she ends up luring her best friend's not luring him because it was more like she knew he was a
scheme.
Yeah, she kind of seduced him a little bit because he would, you know, she was grossed out. Like, she liked her friend and everything, but she didn't like the fact that she had this sort of gross thing going on with this old
right.
man. She
you
got
to
it.
Imagine she's traumatized it's from disgusting. Having watching her dad kill her mom.
Yeah.
And like, so she already peeped game. Problems. She was like, this dude is going to, like, get obsessed with you and kill you. Like, I think she
and
had
if he
already
doesn't,
trashed
it's
that
just
out.
Fucking gross.
It
you
is.
Know what I'm
and
saying?
Also
like,
just, I don't know.
Come on. This is, like,
but
this
also
is an abuse
to me is
cycle.
Why she might be a sociopath, because that was a very interesting, her first, like, salute. It just seems like her first move was murder.
First movie, best movie. Yeah, murder shouldn't be our first move, just for the record. That's not
that
okay.
That was brutal. I will say, as far as a storytelling device, when you finally get the story of how her parents died and she was saying we were all underwater that day, that
pretty
was
good.
That I think that was another moment where I had to like stop the book.
Oh.
For real.
Well, listen, so she lured this child molester into kind of like making out with her. And then I guess when she told him his breath stunk because he was smoking cigars.
Now, she should go get a rubber.
And a rubber.
Because that, to me, that was when I
Which
don't, you really don't feel bad for him that like, much because he was just like, okay.
Yeah, you're 14, I'm going to do it. He leaves and then she leaves, but I guess she turned on the gas.
Yeah, while he was
out
the room, she rigged the stuff up. It was very
spoiler alert. Bam, bam, bam,
yeah,
bam,
we already
died.
Yeah, but that and
it was intense. I was like, God damn, I was not expecting that.
Yeah, that took a turn, mm-hmm. but it was giving a little Toni Morrison though.
She's heavily inspired by it. From
okay,
what I've read
tracks.
About Disha Filial, sounds like she's very heavily influenced by Toni Morrison of the Gong. Which makes sense. Ooh. You know what, you guys? I think this is probably, I mean, after houses blowing up and child molestation, maybe we should just take
it's
a break.
It's heavy.
Let's take a break.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back.
Okay, what are we...
All right, guys. Welcome back from the break. My goodness. Whoa.
Oh.
Welcome back to the break. To the painful sneeze.
Show must go on.
That was so funny though. Where did it hurt exactly? Your back?
I don't even want to point to it.
Hurt.
Let's just
right,
say like right,
moving,
right like this.
That is hilarious. welcome back to the Fake Ass Book Club where painful sneezes are in full effect. Listen, you guys, these stories, we're not going to get through all these because we'd be here all day. And it is getting late. And so,
rate it.
Let's just rate the book. Yeah. I want to give it sneezes somehow, but it has nothing to do with the book.
I mean, we can do whatever we want.
That is so true. If I have to rate this book, I'm giving it, it's definitely getting 5 out of 5. I mean, Peach Cobblers, fuck it. I mean, I feel like I did that before.
That was...
But Peach Cobblers, man.
Woo!
All right.
I want to... This is definitely going to get a Fab Award. I don't know which
this
one,
was really
but this
good.
Book is definitely getting a Fab Award mm-hmm. at the end of the year. I'm going to give it 5 out of 5 church fans advertising a funeral home.
Let's go. That actually was fantastic.
Thank
I
you.
Support your decision to do that.
I wrote that earlier. I wish it was spontaneous.
Listen, that was great.
Thank
no
you.
No one had to know. You just told on your own self.
I'll take it out.
But yeah, that was awesome. But yeah, it's a really good book. I think people who would like this book, you know, definitely women. I think, I mean, even if you're a guy, you might be interested in just the way women think about certain things. But it's super relatable across the board to me anyway. Just some of the internal dialogue that you have and just the family dynamics.
And the abuse cycles that we've normalized through tradition.
I know. That is like, this is really kind of messed up. It is. You know? But you could tell that, yeah, her writing style was just really great too.
I want to read more stuff by her.
Listen, she I'm ready. I was all up in her her website and reading like the different articles. There were so many interesting things. I think it's just DeeshaPhilYall.com. I'll have it in the notes if you guys are interested. But definitely check her out. I'm very interested and excited to explore more of her stories and stuff like that. And hopefully you guys enjoyed hearing us talk about these stories because we had a good time reading and listening to them.
We sure did.
So we rated the book. And so now it's time to spin. We'll spin it. You guys, so we are going to watch Queen Charlotte. Is that what it's called?
A Bridgerton story. Yeah.
Yes. Queen Charlotte, a Bridgerton story. I think this is on Netflix.
It is very much. It's a Netflix original.
It's a Netflix original.
You can tell it's got budget.
My goodness. And I'm just going to say off top the casting. I'm into it because looking at the young Queen Charlotte, looking at the one that we know from the Bridgertons, even who is her lady in waiting? Danbury, Lady Danbury.
Yeah.
And her. I cannot wait. First of all, I can't wait to talk about this, y'all.
It's going
to
be fun. I want to start now.
I want to start now. I'm not going to do it. It's late.
If nothing else, just the clothes.
It's giving.
And the hair.
So good. So,
it's
so
really
good.
A hair story.
It's a hair story. It's a clothes story. And I'm into it.
You know what? We'll get into it.
We'll get into it. You guys, thank you for joining us this week. We can't wait to dig into that with you guys next week. Let us know, though, if you do have stories about, like, we shared a lot of the different sort of, I don't know, I don't want to call them love stories, but shorts about, you know.
Every story is a love story.
Every story is a love story, guys. If you have stories you want us to share with our audience, or if you have questions you want us to answer, if you're looking for advice from two people who probably shouldn't be giving you advice, you should write to us and send your questions and comments into thefabpodcast@gmail.com. You guys, we want to hear from you. Also, follow us across social media at The Fab Podcast, pretty much everywhere, or the Fab Pod.
And go to YouTube if you want to see us. We made an effort.
I mean, this week, kind of, yeah. It was a rough one.
We didn't make most effort. No, but
we're here. That's effort, right?
Yes. I mean, oh my goodness. Can I thank you so much for being here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, this was...
It's a good time, man.
Impressive.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Tip of the hat to myself and to you guys for joining us once again. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. And you guys, as always, take care of yourselves and each other.
Your body belongs to you.
Yes.
You just said that. Did you watch the Jerry Springer thing?
No.
I think it ended up being fake, but man, Jerry Springer was fascinating. Look into him. He paid a prostitute with a check. I'm going to say that about it.
First of all.
He was wild.
Cut. Okay. Bye, guys. We're out of here.
Before we go, we must give thanks to Urban Nerd for providing our music, and legal services were handled by Trezanne M. Atkins. If you like what you heard, please feel free to join us every Wednesday for another fake-ass book club.
Cheers.
Thank you guys for listening. You can check us out at thefabpodcast.com. Please subscribe, rate, and review our podcast wherever you're listening right now. We want to hear from you. Come put it in our life. Thanks again. And until next time, peace, love, and the Fake Ass Book Club. We out.